Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got quite an interesting show tonight. We're going to have some call-ins and some guests come on the show that have been here that had a wonderful evening here and a day and talk a little bit about that. Our guest tonight came down with some really strange symptoms all of a sudden right before the show and couldn't make it on. And so he's been dealing with a little bit of a healing crisis. So we're going to have to hold off on that one and maybe reschedule. Sometimes that happens. People will connect with us here at the ranch, and then, all of a sudden they'll all have other beings start to work on them and do a little healing with them and things like that. Sometimes it gets really interesting. But it's all about connections and frequencies. But anyway, a lot going on. I want to just cover a few things. The sun, I'm sure you've noticed, is lining up, and I haven't seen the latest, but I'm sure we're definitely having some geo-effective solar flare activity, and it is just cranking. We're out there today, and we went from fall to summer. I think we missed our spring, so that was pretty interesting. But today was just very hot up here on the mountain, and t-shirt weather is really nice for a change. It's been really cold up here. Working heavily on the gardens and getting the place cleaned up and digging out under the snowpocalypse that we had this winter. Still cleaning up down trees and things. But anyway, just heads up on this. We are moving closer into alignment with galactic plane. We are moving into a highly energized place in space. Dr. Dmitry, Russian scientist, talk a lot about this. The energy's coming in. We're getting bombarded by, up to 500 hits a day of energies from outside sources. It used to be about 50. And, on top of that, we got some major planetary alignments coming up. So, anyway, the Earth is rocking and rolling. A lot of earthquakes, a lot of tsunami warnings out there lately, and just crazy weather, hail storms. I guess California lost most of its crops, due to hail just recently. But Texas also just got hit with 4 feet of hail. But we are in those times, so it's. It might be a good idea to set aside, a bag of rice and beans and put them in your closet and store up a little extra food, in case the grid goes down or these storms continue. And it's just common sense. The old saying, praise Allah, tie your camel. But I know Bob G talked about that once. He said, it's time to lovingly and joyously prepare. So if you go, well, I'm not going to prepare because that's fear, and I'm not going to fear. It's not fear. It's wise, so that's the bottom line. But we'll all send some nice healings out to our guests. I think Anthony Sanchez was the guest that we had scheduled. And so we'll send some prayers out to him that he gets through this healing crisis he's undergoing and bring on some callers. I wanted to give out the numbers. If you want to call in, the number is 888-627-6008. That's the toll-free number, and it's 530-327-7602, and that's the direct line. I hope those are the right numbers. If not, I'm sure our producer will shoot them to me. But anyway, those are the ones I have written down on this piece of paper. So, I want to get into the rest of the show. I think we have Dana on line two, and I wanted to bring Dana on the show. Dana, are you with us?
Yeah, I am. Hi, James.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on.
Yeah, it's kind of a last-minute thing, but
kind of a surprise.
Yeah, you've gotten to experience the energies here, and I got to see some of the ships flying over and some of the other things. I'd love to hear, and I know the listeners would love to hear, just a little bit about what you experienced here and what they would experience if they came to the ranch.
Well, I'm not sure I can say exactly what they would experience, but I can tell you what I experienced. So we came down. I came down with my friend Sonia from Seattle, and we kind of weren't expecting anything, to be honest with you. I just became intrigued with your website, and I spoke with somebody who'd been down before, so it just felt like a must-do kind of a thing coming down here. And we were told there wasn't really any activities planned, but when we got down here, first of all, we walked into the guest house and met some amazing other women who were there, and it really felt like a reunion of sorts, which was strange because we'd never met before. And that was actually good enough, but then within a very short time, we were invited up to the meditation room to do a clearing, and which I had no idea what that was going to be like, but that involved the table tipping, which, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how much you've talked about before on the show, but I didn't know what it was, mm-hmm. and that was pretty profound. And we experienced the bringing in of some, you know, the energy of some higher beings that did some healings and some initiations. And each person in the room actually got to experience that. Mm-hmm. And then we just kind of sat around and talked for a while, and there was a lot of information shared that I actually hoped to hear about coming down here. Mm-hmm. And then we got back. We had to go eat dinner, and we got back in time to see the spaceships come out. Which was I kind of was convinced that I would be one of those people who came down and did not get to see them. But there was I don't know. I think we saw six at least mm-hmm. of various sizes, and it was really impressive.
Yeah. How long were we out there? I think we were out there, 15 minutes?
My individual clearing, and I have to say that one of the great gifts, I don't even know where to begin with how great the experience is of being here and the energy, which is just, it's hard to describe. It's just very kind of uplifting and clear and bright, and I don't understand the nature of energy vortexes, but it certainly is qualitatively different than usual energy fields that you encounter. I've gotten in touch with my main, I guess you'd call it guide, mm-hmm. and had the opportunity to connect with her in probably three or four different ways at this point, which has been, it's just been very easy and simple. Mm-hmm. And then the clearing involved healing different aspects of my life that needed to be healed, some past lives. And then I had an amazing massage that I feel healed some injuries in my body from probably 20 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. And, I guess that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, Nate's pretty good. He's definitely
yeah,
has.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Yeah, he has the
very,
technique,
very
technique and the juice
and
the connection.
Therapist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite interesting. I think it's fun that when people come up here with no expectations, they usually have some amazing experiences. But if they come up here with these big, massed expectations, you know, and you know, demand that a ship land so they can get on board and fly off with their soulmate or something.
Well,
you know,
aren't we doing that tonight?
I think so. I think that was on the schedule.
Okay, well, that's what I was planning.
So, yeah, it's quite an interesting place here. There's just so much going on. The longer you're here, the more the place opens up to you and the other dimensions, and you start seeing all kinds of things.
Well, right, yeah. I mean, that's evident because, I mean, it's a very, you know, quiet rural location, but the feeling is that there's a lot going on. And we were in touch with the seventh dimensional being, you know, last night, so that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Those ships were amazing, weren't they? They came in there. A couple of them were pretty big. I mean, they were bright and kind of wobbling, doing all kinds of weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was interested in a number of the things that you talked about, like where they originate from, mm-hmm. and how they come out of, how you've experienced them coming out of the mountain. Have you talked about that?
Yeah. There's actually a door that opens up on the mountain that that they actually transmute matter and open up this door, and when they close it, it goes right back to a giant lava face. And there's nothing there if you go up there. I've gone up there several times and thrown rocks at it and knocked on the door and meditated and said, "Hey, open the door." But I guess it's not time yet for that. That's kind of what they told me. They said it's not time for that yet. But definitely, we actually have it on film. We have the doors opening and things flying in and out of the door. And, you know, there's actually a cave in the very top of the mountain where we see these lights come out all the time. We flew up there when all the snow was melted off, and it's only open for maybe 2 or 3 weeks out of the year, and that's it, because it's up way high. And what was interesting is that we saw these two massive caves with a waterfall coming down over the top of them, and then what looked just like a Buddha statue in front.
Oh.
It looked like somebody carved a Buddha out of basalt.
Wow.
And, you know, we videotaped it and filmed it. But you have a very short time to get over there, and it's just treacherous to try to get into that cave. I mean, you would have to have some extreme mountain climbing skills, and the ground there is not very stable either, you know. So I don't know, one day I might get up there. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to have to bilocate, I guess.
But you have all this documented?
Yeah. We have a good friend, Brent, who's got a small plane. he built his own plane, like a little stunt plane, and we flew all around the mountain and filmed it and got pretty close to it and zoomed way in with high definition and camera.
Oh, that's,
you know,
amazing.
So.
Now, do you have those sort of things on your website?
I believe, yeah, they are. They are. I think it's in the paranormal or the video and photo section. I don't think we have the video.
What I really like about all this information is that it's so available to anybody who wants to look for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not concealed. It's not secretive. It's right there.
Yeah. You know, we were talking to somebody today about that and how we share everything, and people come here and get some pretty good footage now and then. And we have, that's our policy, is that anything filmed here is public. You know, it goes out to the public, and, you know, it's not copywritten. And I've had people come and try to buy the footage and things, and I just tell them, no, it's not for sale. And I mean, I don't know if that's smart on my part, but, you know, once I sold it, then they would probably own it and, you know, it wouldn't be available to the public anymore. So. But yeah, we're not in it for the money. We're in it for the education side of it.
Right. Well, you know, and I guess the other part of that I've kind of wondered about is, you know, and this is maybe a more sensitive subject, is really how you get away with doing all of this without attracting the wrong kind of attention. And I mean, you know, when you think about Roswell, there was so much concealment about that, and and there continues to be. Why doesn't that happen here?
Yeah, well, actually it does. And we do have a lot of protection on high, but, you know, there are certain aspects of government here and county and things like that, would just, they're doing everything they can to close our doors. But, you know, so far we're doing okay. We have a couple major hurdles in the next couple of weeks to deal with to keep the doors open. And we, you know, we had some amazing donations to the legal fund that helped us out up to now. But, you know, that money's gone. You know, it's had to be spent on several things to clean up some of the nonsense from the past. But, you know, basically we're back at it again, but I think we're doing okay. We may put another GoFundMe thing up for more money for the legal fund, because, you know, that thing's been cleaned out and totally cleaned out now, and it's probably time for a little more infusion. But
so you're still using the legal aid to help you with this situation?
Well, yeah, we have quite a few people, you know, Spencer Barclay and Dean Clifford and Brandon Adams, we've talked to him. People that are on the forefront of, you know, some of the highest legal law that that they don't want us to know about. And so a lot of it's connected to the sovereignty movement. A lot of people have a bad taste when they hear that name. But, you know, basically there are, unalienable rights that you can't take away. And although they try and they have tricks of doing it, if you stand firm on that and they have to honor that. So it's kind of tricky. You have to really know what you're doing and you slip up, you pay the price. That's just the way it is. But, you know, we have to realize it's the system is just us. You know, it's not justice. It's just us, you know.
Yeah, that's hard to realize sometimes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the way it works. And it is just a big game. To see how much they can get, basically, how much they can get from you, or how much freedom they can take away. And if you don't stand up for yourself, then, you know, there's an old saying, if you don't stand up for your rights, you don't have any. You know, it's pretty.
Yeah, but you have to be basic. Clear and you have to get your information.
Yeah. And, you know, it'll be interesting. I'm not sure how it's all going to turn out, but I know that this ranch here really needs to stay afloat, and there's higher beings involved in it. And I know they're taking care of things. And so I think it's going to continue.
That's reassuring.
Yeah. And, we have had all the alphabet agencies have been up here, and we've had Air Force Base commanders and triple PhD Boeing engineers, all kinds of people have come up here and have seen, even, you know, NASA. We've had some major NASA engineers come up here, and they know it's real and they know it's happening, you know, but they can't. Actually, the Boeing engineers actually went online and testified that, you know, they went on coast to coast with Art Bell and said, yeah, this is real. You know, you can't argue with this. The things that they saw, there's no way that they're anything that we have.
Uh-huh. That's great. I saw last night definitely wasn't anything that I'd seen before.
Yeah, I mean, they have no running lights. They have no strobes on them. They make no sound whatsoever. And they're very big. they're you really think about it, that some of the stuff we're seeing up there, depending on how high it is, you know, must be enormous.
So you have had some land here, right?
In the past, in the very beginning, we did. We had some landings here, and we've had some guests that have seen them land. I had some real intimate experiences in the very beginning with them, but then they backed away because they said once I went public that they could not come close like that, and they really wanted me to go public about it, but they said they'd have to, like, kind of observed from a distance, and I had to work more on my telepathic connections. I think it's not too far away. Well, they will be landing and they will be, you know, working with us, but it's the powers that were need to finish their little program here. And once they fold in on themselves, then they'll be working with us to help us get through the changes.
Hmm. That sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah. Big reunion coming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's in all the prophecies. Yeah.
Something. Yeah. So how big were the ships that landed here?
They were only maybe 25 feet wide, 30 feet. You know, they're just small ships that little runabouts, I guess.
Runabouts.
Yeah.
Basic sedans.
Yeah, I mean, we have a huge field out here that
I know it's
the mothership could almost land in, but depends on how big it is. But we could accommodate a pretty large ship if it wanted to come in. But I heard that the big ships are just, they really tweak out, you know, our fields, our magnetic fields on the Earth and things like that. So it's better, you know, to bring the smaller ones in. You know, but I was looking at the We've got a huge lineup here, people wanting to call in.
Oh, but, well, maybe you should take some calls then.
Yeah, so I might have to let you go.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, we'll be here, and Sonia has some questions too, but we'll be here if you need us.
Yeah, why don't you put Sonia on real quick, and then we'll bring...
Okay, sure.
Yeah, we'll bring some of the other callers on after that.
Okay.
And let me give you those numbers, people, if you want to call in. The numbers are 530-413-5011 or 888-627-6008. And it's 530-327-7602. So anyway, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008. Looks like I gave you the old numbers, but anyway, those are the new numbers if you want to call in. I keep moving my studio from here to there and moving it around as we do repairs here, you know, on the phone lines and other things and power lines. So we're back. But let me see if we've got Sonia. Are you with us, Sonia?
Yeah, I'm here.
Barely. Are you there? Not really. Yeah, I can hear you. You're off, and it sounds like you're in a bathroom.
Okay, let me just a second. I'm going to go on the other.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, can hear you great now.
Okay, that's better. Yeah, I just switched phones.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're coming in really softly. But anyway, thank you for having me on. This is wonderful.
Oops, we think we lost you. We lost Sonia. Oh, well, maybe we can get her back on. In the meantime, I think we've got Walter on line one. Let's see if we can bring Walter in.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Walter, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too. You know, I was wondering how I know you've got a lot of irons in the fire, and you've been working on some movie projects and some alternative energy projects. Be great to get a quick little update on that, if you could.
Sure, yeah. So there's let's start with the quote-unquote movie projects. It's really a movie right now. It's in development, a docudrama. It'll probably be a screenplay, and it's about Ralph Wing's life, called Clandestine Disclosure. Now, out of Ralph Wing, you know, you've had him on your show before. He's got a group of people that are working on both free energy devices and on redevelopment of Otis TCAR's OTC-X1, which is basically a man-made circular foil craft or flying saucer. The guys in Australia are building that craft, and they're getting volunteer help from across the globe to provide machining in some cases of certain parts of the craft. I talked to the designer a couple of days ago. He should by now have received the central rotating disc, which will have mounted upon it the one-inch utrons. I know this is all technical stuff, but a utron is basically, if you can imagine, two opposing cones that are fixed in the middle, and they're geometrically square and round at the same time. So the design of this craft is such that it mimics a small solar system, and you don't plug anything into it. It's supposed to accumulate energy much the same fashion that Tesla's black box accumulated energy and was used to power his Pierce Arrow automobile. So speaking of that kind of transition from that into the free energy in just a moment. So from what I understand, so that disc is either received it or it's on its way, and there are also the C-shaped magnets I hear are supposed to be shipped to them as well. He didn't give me a date, but he did state that it's close to being finished. I don't know what that means, so take it for what it's worth. Moving out of the free energy device, a few months ago, went up to Northern California to film some of the activities there, that pod, insofar as you know what they're doing with that device. Haven't heard anything much coming out of that lately. I just haven't touched bases with them yet. But the way we left it that day was that it looked promising. They kind of validated some of the results they had received previously, insofar as putting in. I think it was something like they put in 10 volts and had an output of 6,000 volts, but it's static. You know, don't go jumping up down the weed. They've discovered it because it's still static. The electrical engineer who's discovered it or has been actually applying other Tesla technology to this unique design, was able to validate that it works, and he believes that he can get power out of it. And again, I haven't touched bases with him lately, but occasionally he'll send me a few really exciting, cool things from the past. You know, things like, hey, look at this. Here's something from Franklin. Here's what Benjamin Franklin had in common with Tesla and some of these other scientists were thinking along the same way. So I believe that they're on the right track. When they're going to do it, I don't know. But they've got some pretty ambitious goals, and it sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait to see some video of those things actually flying and operating and generating, massive amounts of electricity. It seems like these are popping up everywhere, and I'm getting all kinds of calls from Africa, from everywhere that they've all got all kinds of different devices that are actually, some of them are actually working right now and could actually power a nice. A car, electric car or anything else, or a small house.
I've heard of cold fusion, I've heard plasma generators and all this stuff. I haven't seen it myself yet, but, it sounds pretty promising. So really, based on what I've seen, it seems like we're right on the cusp of some things that could be really exciting, but who's to say I'm just a filmmaker,
Yeah, I know it's out there. I know... It's definitely been out there for quite a while, but the ones that actually do have it are still sitting on it, or they are waiting for the powers that were to kind of fold in on themselves, and they're doing a good job, I mean, they've pretty much trashed the Gulf now twice, and I guess the North Sea, they've made a big mess of it now, and I guess over here in Washington, they just had Washington State, they had a big spill, another big oil spill, so... I don't think it's long between the oil industry and the nuclear industry that people finally figured it out and just say enough's enough and start bringing in these other earth-friendly technologies that are, that are clean and don't have the pollution or the byproducts that are, going to kill you in the days to come.
Right. Close the loop. I mean, you said a thing a while back about the nuclear reactors and how they were really designed not to really necessarily house all that radioactive material for long periods of time. The initial idea was that there was a technology that exists that would allow them to close the loop and not leave a big mess. But the powers that be, whoever, whatever, based on that article, I can't remember the guy. I got to look at that article. I still need to contact that guy. They passed whatever legislation that would prevent them from closing the loop, and now we've got this great big dirty mess, potential bombs all over the world called nuclear reactors and this stuff that, when it goes off. I mean, look at Fukushima. Big mess.
Yeah.
Forever.
Well, it's unbelievable. It's almost like whoever's running the show is pure evil, and they just want to see this planet go down. I'm trying to find some other reality. If it, just say, well, it's just greed, or, well, it's this or that, but... to me, it's gone so far beyond greed. It's gone to a level of sinister and criminal behavior, basically. And people need to address that. Whoever is making these decisions, are I don't know what to call them. Basically, they just have no respect.
They don't have our best interest at heart.
Yeah, they have no respect whatsoever for life, and all they're looking at is their pocketbook. If they make a mess, they make a big mess and have a spill or whatever, they get paid to clean up the mess too. So they can't lose. They're getting paid.
Yeah,
they get paid for making the messes, and then the government pays them we pay them to clean them up. And so they're getting paid on both ends.
I would argue they're not cleaning them up. And they're still getting paid. They're making a bigger mess.
Yeah, but they're going through the moves of supposedly cleaning them up and pulling down some big dollars for doing so, but actually really not doing much of anything. Just burying it somewhere, basically.
Dude.
But
the host that you missed out on tonight, I'm sure you have him back again, will be able to have a lot of commentary based upon these nefarious beings. He'll give you an earful.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, he, hopefully he'll pull out of it and we can get him back on the show. But, It almost seems like there was some kind of intervention that didn't want him to come on the show, or there was a major healing crisis.
Oh, do you know his story, though? Do you know his story?
I do. I know that he was exposed to some kind of severe nerve agent and quite a few other things, and they would love to see him disappear and be pushing up daisies.
Yeah, well,
so,
the Hickory Apache. Yeah, where he talks about the Dulce base, underground Dulce base, and the government working in collusion with alien greys, and there's a lot of pollution there, and the cancer rates are very high, you know, and he wants nothing more than just to get that word out so people very well about how badly they're polluting that entire area out there, you know, and who's paying the price for it is all the, you know, the Hickory. You know, they're just getting over, you know what I'm saying? And then for him, it wasn't the exposure to any kind of chemicals there. It's like after he discovered these things, you know, he was poisoned in a restaurant. You know, some woman there in the small town restaurant, nobody even recognized who she was. Oh, you know, this is how he got poisoned. And since then, he's paralyzed from his left shoulder up to the top of his head. So he talks kind of funny because the left side of his face is paralyzed. He has a hard time blinking in one eye. This is what he did to him. And now I believe that, you know, what he succumbed to tonight was just one more symptom in the chain of his being exposed to that neurotoxin.
Yeah, it's too bad we couldn't get his story, but we'll get it. You know, we'll get it. We put some prayers out, and we've sent some nice healing energy over there. So we'll, I've seen people being hit by these negative entities out there, and low level contacts or grays or reptilians or whatever you want to call them, and then I've seen the other beings come in and heal them just as fast. And so, it's a matter of where you put your focus. If we can, you know, get these people in touch with these higher beings and start working with them, it's amazing, you know, what's happened. We had a Korean guy here that got hit by some energy, and it was a black helicopter. Came from a black helicopter, actually, and his whole body just swole up, and he had lesions everywhere. And this guy was in great shape. You know, he was a Qigong and Kung Fu master and everything else, and he got some really good footage of some ships and was going to go public, and they put a pretty nasty hit on him, but the Pleiadians came in and healed him in a day. He couldn't believe it. All his lesions were gone, everything. So I've seen both sides of the scenario, you know, that have happened.
I want to address something with you, though, on the grays. I've come into some information. I've read Anthony's book, The UFO Highway. You know, he talks about the grays there and the entities and the factions, even within the grays, there, you know, the negative, positive, what have you. So they're not all negative, even from Anthony's book. But I've met some other people in the course of producing my television show called Search for Truth that we're going to pitch hopefully this month or next, where this guy's had contact with the grays throughout his life, and it's been positive. What's your take on that?
You know, I've always said that the grays is a real gray area. I think there's a lot of different subgroups out there of grays, and some are just little robots. Some seem to be helping out, and some are just totally self-serving. I mean, they're just here for experimentation and DNA, and basically they're scientists. So, And so it's tricky. You know, and the same with the reptilians. You know, there may be some very, you know, I've heard stories in the past where some of the reptilians were very spiritually advanced, but then I've heard, you know, that everything from they like to munch on children. You know, so who knows? I mean, I think it's all the above. There's all kinds of things going on, and it's important that we, you know, stay in our own self-authority and stand in our own power, you know, and make our own personal God connection to deal with these kind of energies.
In the same respect, we also have to discern, you know, that truth. You know, what is the truth? There's a lot of stories out there, and people carry different stories. A lot of it's real negative. What's the push and the gist behind, you know, framing all the grays as a negative entity?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the people that I've talked to, they talk very almost family-like about, you know, the grays that they've been associated through their lives. So I wonder. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the aspects I'll be going, like I said, through one of the other shows on my show. I may not touch so much on the Grays as it is about some of the other aspects of the things he's gone through in his life. Looking forward to that.
I wanted to
talk about the ranch.
What's that? I missed. Still you there? Broke up there. Yeah. Are you there?
Okay. Now I wanted to share with you. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I wanted to share my experience up there at the ranch.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, real quick, I mean, I went up there. I didn't know what to expect either, just as your previous call had said. I brought a camera up with me because I wanted to interview you, you know, get you on camera talking about, you know, Ralph's story. And also had the table tipping ceremony, the clearing sessions, which was rather interesting. I didn't know what to expect. I had previously seen and just talked to like a psychic, and he, you know, he's only put you in touch with your spirit guide, and he was not successful at it, and basically, you know, patted me on the head and sent me away saying, you got to figure it out for yourself, you know, do it on your own. And I think what's interesting is that, you know, when I came in into that session with you, that it took, I don't know, it was probably, you know, like, we had like three tries and you're trying different methods. And I was very self-conscious about the whole thing. I wasn't really, you know, focused so much on trying to make the contact as I was in taking note of the Kleenex on the floor. Like, boy, what's that there for? what's with the rocking table? And it just taking it all in, these little salt rocks back on the shelf, the lighting. And it was just you, me, and the other gal. Just had a hard time doing it. And we got to a point where I felt like I was taking too much of your time, you know, and I felt like I just needed to respect you and for allowing me to be in there. And you got to the point where, and you just were tremendously patient, and I really appreciate that. You got to the point where you just says, well, you know, maybe you need to do it on your own terms. And as you were saying, on your own terms, that's when I felt the energies come in, because I immediately let my guard down. I became more relaxed, and the energy, the signature was very unique, as you had said it might be. And I was able to describe that. You know, it was, I describe it as, you know, a couple of spiral columns of energy that started at the base of my spine and went all the way up to the top of my head. That was one energy, and they were rotating in opposite directions at different frequencies. And then from the back of my neck, I also felt a vibrating sensation. Mm-hmm. You identified who the entity was. You gave it a name. I'm not going to share it here. And I was able to communicate with that spirit guide, and that was actually an incredibly wonderful experience. Since then, I've been in touch with my spirit guide on two other occasions, and it's usually only when I'm talking about him or describing it to other people.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know the people are probably, we don't really talk about table tipping. I know we brought it up a couple times. But people don't understand. We probably need to explain that. But basically, the process is that we have a male-female balance, and we have a small table in between us. And the energy comes through from the higher dimensions, and it bypasses the human consciousness and goes through the physical nervous system and through the table. And it's a system that was created by the TIC, the Teachings of the Inner Christ, and they use it quite a bit. They're a pretty big organization, mainly down in San Diego. But I think it aligns with Ernest Holmes and some of his work. It's a blend of East and West, mainly Jesus, the teachings of Jesus and Babaji. And they use this technique to bypass the conscious mind and go through the physical nervous system, so you don't have all the ego and the other problems that distort the information as it comes through. And it's like a tool of divination, and it really gives you accurate information. It'll tell you, give you times, dates, numbers, what needs to be healed, when these things happened. You know, it goes into any kind of trauma. You know, it goes into past life trauma, this life trauma, and goes in and clears it. You know, it's quite an amazing tool, you know, if you know how to use it. But that's basically the process. I can go more into depth into that later, but you know, we usually don't do that. You know, we don't talk about it too much on a public level because people start going, ooh, you know. It's, you know.
Yeah, you know, but you know what? Check it out, though. But, you know, here's a guy like me, you know, I'm going, all right, I'm always like, show me. You know, I want to see something tangible. Show me something I could put on video. You know, this guy says, I have time traveled, I've levitated. Okay, show me. Great, let's see it, you know. And so that's the attitude I came with, you know, but I was open. You know, I'm not going, this is impossible. You know, show me it's possible. And each time I've had an experience, and that wasn't the first experience I had with some spiritual situation. And I've been surprised every time. Every time.
You know, we did use technology to actually film one of those sessions, actually several of them. And you could actually, it's a technology that actually separates all the bands of energy, and you can see them change and enter the room, and the beings actually come into the room, their energy. And it's amazing.
Really?
Yeah, it's called PIP technology.
What,
I'll have to send
you. What are they using?
Do you know what they were shooting with? They had a camera that went through the computer, and it was a special program that actually separated, you know, all the bands. It's quite an amazing technology. I think they call it PIP technology. I forgot about the guy's name. I'll have to remember the guy's name that invented it. But they call it, I think, PIP technology for short. But you can see the energy come down and a big spiral of golden energy like dropping right into the room and then going out, and everybody starts pixelating out. You can see everybody's energy light up, you know, and that's the energy that comes into the room during the healing process. And when we were using the beings, like the seventh dimensional beings coming in from the plane of bliss, you know, the energy would be gold with some green in it, you know. And then when Mary would come in, the energy would be pink, you know, this beautiful pink energy would come in. Or some of the other beings would come in with bright green, you know, healing energy. So it's quite amazing. It's been pretty well documented, you know, with some pretty incredible technology, you know, the energy shifts that happen when we're doing the process.
Well, you know, I know you don't talk about the table tipping stuff much, but for a guy who's analytical like me, I'd have appreciated knowing what the process is going to be, because I'm sitting there just taking it all in. I couldn't focus on anything else.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. And, you know, your hands are on top of the table, so you're not pushing it. It's actually moving by itself. And we actually had it jump up on one leg. Mary bounced the table all the way across the room once, you know, so just to show us that it was a real event. But, you know, we make sure that before we even start this process, we make sure and clear any unseen negative influences and make sure we're only working with fifth dimensional entities on up.
Oh, yeah.
So it creates a real sacred space, you know, for people to work in.
Yeah.
You know, but.
James, it was real good talking to you again.
Yeah, you too. I've got another caller here. I'm going to see if I can bring her up. But, hey, thanks for popping in on us and giving us an update. And if you got anything new, let us know.
All right, roger that. Have a nice night.
All right, take care. I think we've got Sonia still hanging on. Let's see, we reconnected with her. Sonia, are you with us?
Yeah, am I here now?
Yeah. Actually, you're coming in really good.
Oh, good. Yeah, good. Yeah, we had a bit of technology difficulties over here on this end. But, I've enjoyed the conversation with Dana and past gentleman, David. And it's really interesting stuff with the energy, with Tesla free energy stuff. I'm an electrical engineer, and so I work with a lot of this stuff in the environment and how it affects people. And the energy forms that we have today are so destructive to the human body that it's really good to see or hear that there's progress being made in that field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, you know, we'll have to talk more about that, because I've got some connections here that I'm going to need a little help with, some toys and things that are coming up in the future, but that I'm going to definitely need some help understanding and hooking up.
Oh, that'd be great. You know, I've really enjoyed my stay here. This is my first time here at the Aseti Ranch, and it's been a real pleasure. I've experienced, I think, fully all the things that occur here, you know, with the UFO sightings and the beings that come and join us and help us heal and initiate us, and just the vortex energy that's here. It's just been such a wonderful experience since we arrived on Friday.
Great. Yeah, you had some, you got to see some nice, nice big ships flying in.
That was amazing. You know, I guess, I mean, I'd seen UFOs before, and, you know, they come in a lot of varieties, and there's just so many of them here concentrated in this area, so I'm just fascinated. And then now also understanding that you have so many different entities or beings in different dimensions, I'm curious, can you identify that, like, which entities go with which UFOs?
You know, actually I can. It's more of a telepathic connection. And I can really feel the Palladian ships when they come in. My whole left side starts tingling like crazy. When the Orion Council of Light ships come in, boy, those are intense. I feel it on my third eye and crown light up. And I usually feel those energies on my right side. It's like more of a male energy. And then when the Andromedan ships come in, boy, your whole body just lights up when those guys are around. But I can sense their energies, their energy signature, and actually pretty much know who's connecting with me. But, you know, some of these ships have several different beings on them. And I think it just matters who's focusing their energy on you, you know, which group is as to what you're feeling. So pretty much I can tell. I mean, I've had some stealth bombers come over here that look just like a UFO and some other stuff. But it's very obvious when they come over because, A, they make a sound, you know, and they usually have a running light and a strobe on them. If they have those turned off, you might see three lights on them that would fake some people out to think they're a triangle ship, but then you hear the sound of the engine later. Although they are pretty quiet, you can still hear it. But the lights on them are, I call it dirty light. It's man-made light. It's not the starlight or the light you would see, the crystalline light you would see from the ships.
Right.
And all the
more
senses,
natural light. Yeah, I could see how that would be different. Yeah, because there is a distinct difference between synthetic light and natural light, and I could definitely see how you would be able to discern that.
Yeah, and when it's a man-made one coming over, there's no energy signature. There's no hit. You know, it's just talking to anybody else, you know, driving a car, you know, you don't get that energy signature that comes with the real high consciousness.
Interesting. So now the other question I had after watching all of these UFOs going through the sky is the fact that they're all going in different directions. And I'm wondering, are there other nodes, areas that they're coming from and going to, that, you know, like a grid or a network that they come from in our area?
No, we're the only ones. We have an exclusive on all the UFOs, and I'm just kidding.
Is there a place in Nevada they come from, or, you know, are they going from here to Mount Rainier? I mean, it's like, are there other vortexes where they travel from spot to spot typically?
Yeah. You know what? There are so many of them up there now, and they're doing so much work on our behalf, working with the grid, both the consciousness grid and the energy grid here on the planet. And they have so many different bases here on the planet, all over the world, and they're working with the inner Earth people too as well. So, I mean, they could be coming from anywhere or going anywhere. You know, who knows? And sometimes they'll drop in on us and do a little dazzle duty, we call it. Well, they'll come by and they'll power up their ships and make a nice turn or something.
Right, we were noticing that last night, weren't we?
Yeah, that we call that dazzle duty. And sometimes they're just really busy trying to turn this planet around and help us with the shift and the awakening healing process that's massively underway right now.
So now, has it increased over the past months, years? I mean, because it looked like Grand Central Station up there. And I mean, we were not there for maybe half an hour, an hour. So it's not like we had to wait, you know, hours. It's like, oh, there's one. It was like, it was instantaneous. The minute we stepped out there and looked up, it was like, oh, there's one. Oh, there's one. And, you know, so it didn't take more than like a half an hour for us to, you know, find six or seven of them.
No, it's pretty much it's ongoing here. It's really funny because people try to debunk this place and they just say, well, you know, I don't believe it. You know, there's no UFOs up there. Prove it. You know,
well,
this
they have
and that.
To come and visit them.
Yeah. And I go, look, I said, it's ongoing. It never stopped. You know, usually they try to debunk a case where some guy saw a UFO, you know, Billy Bob was out feeding his pigs and something flew over his ranch and they got a fuzzy photo or whatever. And so everybody attacks Billy Bob and his character,
right,
and try to say, you know, it was something else and this and that. The problem with here is it never stopped. It's still happening. You know, it's not back in 1947 or Roswell. It's ongoing here. It's still happening.
And so you haven't seen an increase recently? Because, I mean, with 2012 being such a monumental year, you know, with so much activity going on energetically, I mean, have you seen an increase in this, or has it been steady since you've been in the area? Because you haven't been here.
No, it's definitely increased, and it is increasing exponentially. And they're making themselves known all around the world right now. So there's just
reports all the time, and fortunately, you send out reports to us so that we don't have to do the searching ourselves.
Yeah, and you know, I really go through the ones that I think are CGIs or you know, you can tell usually if somebody does a CGI and or a fake one, and every once in a while they might catch me, you know. But you know, I let people use their own discernment. But usually, if you see one that's just so crisp and clean and it's pretty obvious, you know, that it's probably like some kind of a CGI thing, because usually the ships, the fields around the ships are so bright, you don't get solid, you know, nuts and bolts, metallic type of stuff. Every once in a while you'll get one, but when they're powered up, they have some pretty extreme energy fields around the ships, and they're very hard to get, you know, anything really definitive unless basically they're on the ground, you know, or they haven't powered their ships up. They're just barely cruising.
Right. So now I was curious, it was one of the things that Dana and I were discussing after the event and looking at how they've been coming in to help us out. Has there been an increased activity around Japan since the Fukushima accident?
There's a lot of ships being seen around Japan, and I know people over there. A good friend of mine, Kano, is over there now, who is very plugged into the Andromedans, and they've been appearing to him and doing what they can. You know, it's really tricky situation because we brought this on ourselves, and we as a collective abstain from stepping up to the plate and stopping all this craziness that's going on, you know, with the international banksters and the oil and the nuclear industry, everything else. We just kind of like turned a blind eye to it. So these events that are happening, we have to step up to the plate and say, hey, we're done, you know, knock it off. We're not going to accept this anymore, and support the new technologies to bring them in. And so it's tricky because, I mean, they could probably come in and clean everything up, but then we would just continue until
we wouldn't learn a lesson.
Destroyed.
Interesting because, I mean, I just recently watched Thrive that talks about all of this, you know, with the banksters and the you know, the governments and how they're, you know, controlling us. But it seems that, you know, it's been really difficult because people are so brainwashed and they are so imprisoned by the systems that have been put into place that, I mean, it's hard for us to step above into truth and to see what's really going on.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, people are waking up and figuring it out. I always tell people just, you know, it might be time to just turn your TV off, you know, or you know, I did that in 76 or 78, basically, and start getting out into nature.
But you missed Survivor?
Yep, I did. But, you know, definitely, you know, it's time to get out in nature and start developing your spiritual practices, you know, and tapping in and you know, what I think is really funny, everybody makes fun of these conspiracy shows and things like that, and you know, most of them are not conspiracy shows. They're factual. I mean, they are
right.
really telling you like it is, and they're not even giving you the whole enchilada. They're just giving you a piece of the pie. So basically you know, it's I think people need to start waking up and looking at what's really going on around them and what's happening on the planet. And, start rising up and, you know, like the 99% are starting to figure it out, you know, who's pulling the strings and who's screwing things up down here. You know, but looks like we lost you. Are you there? Oh, we lost you. I think we've got a couple calls. I think we've got Vincent on line one. Let's see if we can get Vincent.
Hello?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hi, James.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing really good.
Well, that's good.
The reason I'm calling in is I just wanted to relate my recent experience that I recently ordered your book, Gerzen Kazekiel's book, The Reunion with Source. And since I received it, I've only made it through the first chapter, but it's really amazing. And when I first started to read, I asked Kazekiel and Joshua and any other benevolent being that wanted to help me out to be here and help me. And I've really received, I believe I've received some healing for sure.
Great.
And I just wanted to thank you for that, you know, for this book and for any help, you know, that I've been receiving from you. And I'm just very grateful.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah, we get a lot of people that open the book up and they just start reading the first chapter and like you did, and they said, "What is going on?" All of a sudden they just like pass out or whatever, or they start opening up to the higher dimensions, you know, when they start reading the book and have some pretty amazing experiences, because it is direct information from seventh level consciousness, you know.
Well, it's definitely that. I mean, because you know, I've had some personal issues that I've been struggling with, and I feel like I've really made some big progress, you know. And,
oh, great.
And I feel so much better. You know, I know that there was some fear that I was carrying with me, and I believe I've been able to release it, you know, and I believe that you know, I just the book has enabled me to really make some progress and change, and I just feel like I'm like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders, you know.
Great. Hey, well, keep reading it and keep us tuned in. As when you get to the end of the book, call in again and let us know what happened.
All right, I will for sure, you know, because it's the real deal, you know, and everything is just, I'm just blown away, you know. I really am. I highly suggest that anyone out there listening, if you haven't got the book, get it. It's a really enabling book, and, you know, invite Kazekiel to come, because I can see them hovering above me. I'm pretty sure, you know. I don't know if I'm imagining it, but not with my physical eyes, but I can see them up there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Most people definitely feel the energy when they start opening up the book. You know, unfortunately, we're out of time, Vincent.
Okay.
But, yeah, we're hitting the end of the hour, so we've got to sign off. But, hey, thanks for the call in, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, James.
All right. It looks like we're going to go into the second hour. We're going to do a replay of the 2011 conference. I've got quite a few people out here. We're in the middle of doing a Skywatch, so I've got to get out and take care of that. But enjoy the next hour. Watch the skies. There's a lot going on right now. And be open, you know, to actually receiving healing and awakening from these higher dimensions, because they're doing all they can to help us out right now. And we've got to do our part. So anyway, I'm signing off tonight, and enjoy the second hour.
Greetings and welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio. I am not James Gilliland, and neither are you. And that's okay, and I greet all of the divine multidimensional beings out there listening tonight. My name is Nate, and I work here at the ranch, and I'm going to be guest hosting slash moderating a panel discussion here tonight. James is actually surfing the cosmos, or traveling dimensionally, and you know, he actually disappeared before our very eyes in a brilliant flash of light. And before he did that, he asked the staff to take care of the show for the weekend. So here we are. He's going to be back next weekend, regular time. And it really presents us with quite a rare and unique opportunity tonight to get some of the perceptions or insight of the core staff here at ESETI. And so, you know, we're going to discuss some of the, you know, things that are going on the world scene globally, from that macrocosm back down to the microcosm of individual personal journeys here at the ranch. And so, you know, without further ado, let's get into this here. We got we got Pam, we got Jan of the River Elf, we got Steph, we got Sun, and we even have Dan the Man. And we wanted to, you know, start off with the first thing for the evening to kind of just talk about the mass animal die-off. Now, this is a subject, turn that on, that's been, you know, it's been in the mainstream or lamestream media. It's also been being covered by the alternative media. And, you know, the mainstream media was kind of talking about, oh, this was, you know, this is all fireworks and other kind of lame excuses. Other people have been, you know, pointing out chemtrails or additives to the chemtrails as a possible culprit, or even looking at the HARP technologies, scalar technologies, Tesla technologies. And then even further, some people have been pointing out that, you know, there actually has been a documented shift in the North Pole, and this has been affecting the magnetosphere of the planet. That's tying into earthquakes. That's tying into gases being released by the planet, or even holes in the magnetosphere allowing, you know, poisonous space gases to come into the planet. So there's a number of different explanations that people are putting forth on this phenomenon. Let's just open this up to the round table here. Looks like we're not the only zany mystics having a fireside chat this evening. We've got a nice fire here. We're at the ESETI Ranch. And it looks like maybe Pam has something to say about this phenomenon. What are your thoughts on this, Sam?
Well, there's a lot of information floating around about these happenings, but I was watching, I look for synchronicities in my process and how I take in information, and I look at it all. I was watching a documentary on Tesla, and part of that was his first experiments with scalar technologies. And what happened was they found mass amounts of dead fish and flocks of birds in a 50 to 150 mile radius around the facility where they were doing the scalar testing. So something clicked for me, and I feel like the scalar technologies were involved in the you know, the deaths of these animals. But it's really, you know, there's so many things happening and a lot of information out there. We know that the energies are not balanced right now. And, you know, we could spend a lot of energy trying to get to the core of exactly what has happened. But bigger picture, we know that things are in balance. The Earth is trying to come into balance, and there's a lot of interference. And I think we all need to do our part energetically in fighting sort of an etheric war here, and energetically try to, you know, dissipate these energies that are being put out. I do think we have the ability to do that. I think that it is all energy, and we have the ability to work with energy and help to try to dissipate some of the, whether it's testing or it's full-scale warfare or it's a natural phenomenon. We need to try to help the process unfold in the most elegant way possible, because change does need to happen. But I do think we can assist in the process of how it unfolds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly, certainly. You know, I've seen such a such polarities of what people are saying about this. Some people saying, well, look, you know, animals die even in mass on kind of a regular basis. You know, apparently somebody was even quoting Michio Kaku as, you know, pointing that out recently, is that it's kind of a natural sort of thing, so, you know, don't worry about it. It's nothing to see here. And I don't mean to point this out, like, in any bad light of Michio, because we certainly enjoy a lot of his work. And then on kind of the other extreme, you know, you've seen some people just saying, okay, oh my God, this is totally a sign that the world is going to end, and, you know, that apocalypse is upon us. What do you think about that?
I actually think that's an excellent point, because if they are using technology to create these events, it does feed into the Armageddon mindset that they seem to be actively promoting. You know, it creates a sense of doom and fear within people to see these events happen. And it's just the timeliness of it and the frequency of it in the different places on the planet. I do think that there is a fear factor involved in feeding this Armageddon mentality that is forcing people into a place of powerlessness.
Mm-hmm.
So that they don't step into their own knowing, using their own discernment, using their own critical mind to understand their own influence on their world around them and what's really happening, what the real story is. And, you know, it's difficult living in social consciousness, being fed all of this news and this media that's so full of fear. But you have to step back for a moment and be objective and look at the type of information that's being fed.
Mm-hmm.
And the type of events that are being orchestrated, because I don't believe there are any accidents in any of this. It's all much deeper and much more complicated, but also much more simple in some ways. It's just, I do think that there is a large amount of mind control factor there and keeping people in a place of powerlessness, fear. It's a tactic that's been used, you know, throughout civilizations and cultures and years when people were, you know, fascist regimes. I mean, these are traditional tactics. It's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being played out in a different way through mass media like never before. I mean, I don't think that any of us really comprehend the level of influence that comes in through our Facebook pages and the news. Even if you're only looking at alternative media, it's really easy to get caught up in the hype of a lot of this, but the end result is a fear mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And to get stuck there is not allowing yourself the ability to grow into, you know, the God being that you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we find ourselves stuck in that vibration of fear, that's not necessarily the vibration that's going to facilitate our growth or our evolution.
Yeah, it's a hard line to walk, to be balanced between being in knowing, you know, being informed about what's happening in the world around you, and then knowing that you need to take time to be introspective, to go within, to tap into your inner knowing and the energies around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very easy to get distracted with the wanting all the answers right now, wanting all the information right now, getting carried away with spending time on YouTube and Facebook and everything else and not taking that time to really integrate and reflect and feel what's happening around you.
That's a really good point. Does anybody else want to kind of weigh in their thoughts on this?
Yeah. Hi, it's Jana.
Ah.
I think that the energies now, they're sort of like a lot of us, well, I guess there's a lot of energy coming to the planet right now, and that our own need to connect is just as easy. It's just as easy to resist being able to do that. And when you do enable that and you do allow yourself to connect to the earth or to yourself on all levels, the amount of information that comes in can be totally overwhelming. And that when you do connect or strive to want to go deeper, is that you'll start to feel actually what the planet is feeling. And it's kind of a harsh reality sometimes. And that there's also the importance of learning to detach from that in the planet's process. so that you don't take it on yourself, so that you can observe it and have discernment. It's very important to just take that time for reflection. And it, really, it's only even just 5 minutes a day or just the initiative to want to do it makes all the difference. So.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Is there something, a message in this or what behind this phenomenon? Is this telling us something about our relationship to the earth?
No, I think that if there is a message in here, it's encoded to try to create a reality that we don't necessarily want, and that a lot of people are aware of the fact that they create their reality with their thoughts, and there might be another, some people that aren't fully aware, but they've experienced synchronicity and all kinds of things. I mean, we're all conscious waking beings, and that I've kind of gotten the go-ahead that it feels orchestrated to me. It may be part of a larger drama, but that it's a signal that a lot of people's unconscious minds might want to tune into and play out certain dramas, mm-hmm. because we have total effect on the quantum field with our thoughts, and that you'll realize that. I mean, the more and more we go within, and if anything, I think it's important to, like Pam was saying, go within in these times. Do not mediate outside of yourself, always on other networks. Go within if you're asking questions and you want to know anything.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to access all of that information, and on a planetary scale, because your body is a massive tuning fork
mm-hmm.
Upon this planet, and that you can pick up on a lot of information if you attune it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so let me ask you this. Some people might say this is semantics or whatever, but you know, I was describing how the polarization of this issue. Some people saying, "Hey, it's not really a big deal. Don't worry about it. It's nothing to see here, folks. You know, move along." To the opposite of people thinking that this heralds the apocalypse or the end of the world. And I wanted to get your take on the use of that word apocalypse, because if you look up the Latin definition of it, it's mm-hmm. basically talking about
a
revealing, yes, the revealing. And personally, I feel that, you know, we are in the midst of that revealing, and it will continue. So, you know, but by that definition, you could say we are living through the apocalypse. Now, you know, what do you think of that, and is that necessarily a bad thing?
I guess the analytical part of me wants to go back to the Latin, to the guys who created this language and the purpose that it had. Because it seems like there's been some things mapped out. I mean, just from my own research, and that, I mean, that's what Latin is. That's what it's saying, and that I'm not buying into it. It does mean to reveal, and it is a great peeling back, and that I feel that the third dimension is heavy, and that lately it's starting to feel kind of like molasses. And if you were to walk through molasses, it would feel like part of you is starting to peel back, and that the layers are coming off, and that it's not just planetary revealing and all these other levels. It's within us, and that's what's going on. And I guess that's just where I'm kind of just turning my focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Well said. So, did anybody else want to weigh in?
Yeah.
On this subject.
Yeah, just as far as connecting to the Earth and the star and the moon and the sky,
sure.
I think that Dan might have something really good to say.
Mr. Dan the Man.
Yes, hi, this is Dan. Good evening. I just like to say, along the rhythm of the thoughts, that with the energy now and with more people getting actively involved in where we are, we're moving along at a pretty good clip, that events are much, much more pliable, and our influence on them more palpable, more stronger. And the meditations, you know, that we've done here at the ranch, where you know, James, the recent meditations and so on, they're very significant. When you do that in your own meditation process, just send out energy to different things that are personal to you around the world, or you know, just personal things. We can really, really help help change things now more than ever. I feel. I just thought I'd put that in the works of what we've been discussing. It's brought out. Questions are brought out about different meditation processes, and I personally gravitated to sun gazing 4 years ago, and before I do talk about it, I just want to say that like anything else that you work on spiritually, it's a process, and sun gazing is the kind of process that go ahead and do some research on it first. You can do it by simply Googling sun gazing or solar healing, and you can get right to some very pertinent information. But it's a process. You do it at very early sunrise and very late sunset. If you're going to look directly at the sun in a meditation process, and you build it up very slowly in 10-second or 20-second increments, whatever's comfortable for you. If you have weak or damaged eyes, don't do it. Just use your heart. I mean, just be more conscious of the light. We've been turned away from the sunlight in a number of different ways for many, many years. And the sunlight is a life-giving source on this planet, and it's a very, very powerful part of living spectrum on Earth. And I just happen to be a very adamant sun gazer because it spoke to me. It was my meditation process that calmed me down, that helped me connect, and it was my way. And I have other processes, but that's my primary process, and I happen to be a very adamant solar meditator, and it has been beneficial and helpful for me. I've was prompted to be on the very strong end of that meditation, just to help open more people up to it in my personal life. And so anyways, it's a process. If you do it very early sunrise, very late sunset, and you can look directly at the sun. And once again, if you have weak eyes or damaged eyes, and don't do it. Just mm-hmm. use your heart, but be more conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get out in nature, maybe take the reflection in, look at the reflection in off of a stream or a lake, and enjoy it more. It's a very, very connecting way with Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of many things that flies in the face of conventional wisdom when people first hear about this, that you can look with your bare eyes directly at the sun. You know, I had somebody call the ranch, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and was asking me about, well, you know, what type of practices do you guys do here? And, you know, while there are some kind of core practices that we all may have or tailor to ourselves, we're kind of a diverse group of people, and we all have our own different individual practices. And I was kind of mentioning, yeah, you know, one of the guys here, he loves solar meditating, you know. He stares at the sun. That's like his main gig. And it just blew this guy's mind. He couldn't believe that, you know, that was safe or that you could actually do it. He'd never heard of it. And, you know, you kind of went over some of the precautions of, you know, start slowly, do it when it's rising or falling. Don't just go out there at, you know, the peak of the sun to do this. But, you know, Dan, could you maybe describe some of, you know, the benefits or the effects that you have experienced from doing this? What about your eyesight? I mean, has your eyesight improved, or have you feel that it's gotten worse from doing this?
No, in a way it improved. I had to wear glasses for driving, and I don't wear them at all now. I still do need them if my driving glasses. I do use them if I'm you know a little bit overtired. But no, the main benefit is it hasn't hurt my eyes at all. Nor will it if it's you know practiced as a process. And once again, I'll just reiterate that use your heart. I mean, it's a process. Just you don't like run a marathon, a 20-mile marathon, the first shot out. You know, you do it. You build up gradually. the build up into the rhythm gradual, and it's the same thing. You know, maybe 10 seconds the first time, then close your eyes or turn from the sun and finish your meditation process, and maybe 20 seconds the next time, and 30 seconds, you build it up in increments, okay? Mm-hmm. I just have, for myself, I'm on the outer edge, and it just connected me to Mother Earth and nature like no other time in my life, and I always enjoyed getting out in nature, getting out in the woods and camping and things like that, but it just drew me in solidly to a connection with Mother Earth that has been phenomenal and unbelievable, and was needed for me to ride this rhythm at this time. And I know a lot of people, because I do solo meditate, of course, I'm going to, you know, connect with other sun gazers that have had many similar things go on in their life. And so, you know, and like I say, give it a try if you want. And if it doesn't feel right, then don't do it. Just be more conscious of the light when you do go out in nature. Just enjoy it more. And however you connect to nature, connect to the light a little more. That's all.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, I think that's good advice, Dan. You know, people can try something out for themselves and see if it resonates. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking, now, Dan, you could feel this or anybody else could feel this, but do you guys think that there's like a conscious effort by the control system to encourage people not to look directly at the sun, to be wearing sunglasses or to be thinking that it's gonna hurt your eyes, or that, you know, to disengage from the sun and sunlight? What do you guys think about that? I don't know if somebody else wants to chime in on that, or if Dan wants to handle that.
Well, I'll start, and if someone else wants to chime in. But when I started taking the sunlight, I did it intuitively. I hadn't really looked into it too much, and I started in January 2007, and as soon as I did stop, my vibration went up quite a bit and so on, and I looked right into it and got to the research. And, you know, the research can be gotten to on the Internet, but one of the people I was led to was Dr. Mitchell Gibson, and he had gone around the world and uncovered an awful lot of things about cultures and their connection to the sun, and it was a very, very important part of many cultures, and it had been, you know, twisted and turned and been called sun worshiping and many other things, but for the most part, most indigenous cultures had a very strong relationship with the sun, and yes, we were turned away from that method of connection because it happens to be a very strong one. I mean, that's what I learned through my research, and that can be gotten to too. If anyone wants to take the time, there's plenty of professionals that have done their homework on this. So if you want to look into it, you can. Okay. Anyone else?
For me, I think about the skies, the clear blue skies of my childhood. The fluffy white clouds, the clear blue skies, deep blue skies.
Yeah, what happened to those skies?
Yeah, and I remember enough to know that there is something going on preventing that. And I do believe that there is a level of psychological impact on a lot of the aerial spraying that's happening. I think at times it could be other kinds of contaminants and particulars and metals and all of that, but other times it's, you know, a very big part of that campaign is blocking our natural light, our natural energy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, gazing at the sun, I know Khan, one of our teachers, talks about the importance of rising with the sun and absorbing that energy, as well as the importance of gazing at the night sky and absorbing starlight, moonlight.
Mm.
And light is consciousness. It's a transmission. You know, we spend a lot of time here. We don't have a TV here. You know, we spend a lot of time, especially during spring and summer months, out sky watching. You know, and I think that a lot of people, their openings and their experiences here, something in that process of engaging with a larger universe outside of the self allows them to tap into these greater energies and really experience themselves in a different way. And so, you know, connecting with our place in the solar system, the galaxy, the universe, connecting with that infinite source light is all through the sun, through the stars, and through really recognizing that we're not just bodies, personalities, people playing out this drama on this planet, but it's a much larger paradigm and map, and really being able to step back far enough to look at it that way allows you to enjoy it in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm. So I think a lot of the, you know, light is consciousness. It is information. It is energy. So gazing at the sun, gazing at the stars, connecting with nature is essential to bring you outside of just this limited, you know, skin bag that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, respecting it and the process that the container that we're in, but also just bursting outside of that paradigm changes your perspective on everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's fun. It's fun.
Indeed. So Pam, while we got you on the line, and Dan had kind of brought up the topic of, you know, what is his main practice.
Hmm.
You know, I wanted us to kind of talk about our practices.
Yeah.
You know, because this is the downtime right now. The ranch is closed, and you know, it's a really good opportunity for us to be focusing on our disciplines and everything. Hmm. But I know last year you and Son went out and you did kind of a tour,
mm-hmm,
of some various spots around the country, doing some workshops,
mm-hmm,
and you know, so I just wanted to kind of question you on maybe what has changed in your approach, in your perspective to teaching, to facilitating classes currently. Like, where are you at now in comparison to last year's experience? And what do you have lined up on the horizon here?
Okay, well, my initial experiences with these practices were primarily about healing.
Mm-hmm.
Like physical healing of ailments, where I had a lot of things going on that I got in touch with my own internal healing process through these practices. And then, you know, going and sharing with everyone was amazing. It was a learning experience for all of us. But, you know, there was also a part of me that always was looking for more, different practices. You know, learning from our teachers, different, more and more and more. And I have now begun to look at the essence of what these practices are about, and it's really simplified to the level of just taking time out each day for internal reflection, for going within and really feeling my heart, what I'm feeling, what comes up, and anything that I'm resisting, going into, you know, with some gusto to resolve it, with some courage, you know, in many ways. So this time that we have here this winter, you know, when we're closed, it's a luxury. I mean, we have time to really use in any way that we choose, and we spend time reaching out and, you know, talking with people, sharing information, and we spend a lot of time, you know, really looking inward and really refining ourselves and letting go of what no longer serves us in many ways. So,
mm-hmm,
part of that for me is really, you know, Qigong is important to me, and the spontaneous practice is just key, but this has been more of a time of sitting meditation and really just tapping in and feeling and connecting with nature, really expanding my awareness to the seven trees that are outside of my room.
Mm.
You know, the quiet out here, connecting with nature and the stillness. It's been such a gift. It's what I'm most grateful for right now, is the time to go through this process, you know, and at the same time, you know, preparing for continued sharing
And our workshops really have become most, first and foremost, about sharing. Mm-hmm. Everyone sharing their experiences, sharing practices, sharing energy, and understanding that the collective is so much more powerful than the individual, you know, and really understanding how to open our hearts and share. But we're going to be traveling a little bit this spring. I know we're going to be in Vermont on April 8th through 10th, and we're looking at going to San Diego, Dallas, Austin, Durham, a few other cities. Still working on some dates, but really it's what flows, it's what unfolds because it's needed, and it's about a shared experience with everyone. So, you know, I love being here all winter, but I do feel a pull to get out and start connecting and activating and really creating little communities of people who are doing energetic work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, it's about the activation. And each city we've gone to and each group that we've shared energy with have continued in one way or another to do the energetic work, to share, to heal. And there's been really dramatic, profound effects in people's lives and in communities, and it's just, that's what it's all about. It's about sharing.
Yeah. We've met a ton of really amazing people that you guys met first doing your tour.
Yeah.
Basically, and then we met them at the ranch.
Yeah, it's like little families were formed each place that we went, and the family connected back here at the ranch, and everybody makes their way here, and it just, the feeling of family and knowing, you know, I can't help but feel like there is a divine plan and how we all run into each other and connect, and it feels so fluid and, you know, just amazing. It's really what makes it all worthwhile is the connections, the people, all of us sort of headed in the same direction together.
Yeah, and when you run into that just string of synchronicities, you know, you know you're doing something right at least.
Right. And that really is what I look for, is the synchronicities and the flow and the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What about, now, is there one scheduled for California?
We're working on that. It'll be in April probably, and in San Diego. And I know James is going to be at the Prophets Conference in Palm Springs.
Yeah, that's on
February 25th through March 1st.
Yeah, something like that.
And Little Grandmother, Daniel Pinchbeck. Be a lot of great speakers there. And there is a chance we may do a workshop in Palm Springs that weekend. Mm-hmm. But we're just kind of figuring it out.
If you live in that area,
let us know. Yeah.
Cool. So it looks like Jana had, she might have had something to say about something that was going on in the conversation, I don't know, like a minute or so ago.
Here you go, Jana.
Yeah, I guess something just sort of clicked on when Pam was talking about the time to allow and sort of trying to communicate the thought of, a lot of us are reading a lot, we're researching a lot, we're delving. And the ability to move things beyond theory into applicable into your life, into your everyday life, because it's really easy, but it's just as easy to recognize, you know, what you've been conditioned to just sort of, you know, react response mode, and that just sort of like moving beyond the concept of like, no, I have to do this and I have to do that. And it's not just a limiting mental concept, but also the fact to allow yourself to make some more bold decisions in this time, to do really what you're feeling is in your highest and best good and in your highest potential. And sometimes those things can feel, you know, pretty risky, pretty brave in these times, and that I think it's time to make those decisions. I think it's time to totally align and to be the brave mystic that you are, because I think I'm sitting with a marvelous and brilliant group of people that have all made the brave and bold decisions to step into their power and to gather, you know, together in, you know, by a fire and share with whoever many people are talking tonight. You're all with us. We're sharing all of this.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, just sort of moving beyond theory. And the internet's good. The networks are good. All of it is good. But, again, you know, just do your thing. Go within. Have a laugh. Stare at the sun. Go outside. Get beyond all of it in whatever way you can. Whatever is your gateway. Whatever you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Trust yourself. And if you've never done it, do it for the first time in your life.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah, beyond the armchair philosophizing about it and putting it into action. And no one can really tell us how we as individuals can put something into action or apply something. That's ultimately up to every one of us to figure out the best way to do that for ourselves.
Yeah, just don't individual. Overthink it.
Yeah. Indeed. So looks like Steph had something that was sparked in her about a comment that you had just made.
Yeah, she's a lovely elf.
Let's see what she's got.
Well, it just hit me when Jenna was speaking about, you know, what you're feeling inside, you know, and it may even sound a little crazy, but if you're prompted, and I understand that from experience. A year and a half ago, I got this incredible calling to live in nature, and I all of a sudden gave notice at my job and my work and my apartment, and I had no money and no prospects, had no idea where I was going to go or what I was going to do, but I completely trusted in that. I had no fear because I felt it so strongly in my heart that I needed to be in nature that it didn't sound crazy to me. And I basically just kind of got out of my way and opened myself up to the universe and said, okay, guide me to where I need to be. And it, you know, outside of it, it might have looked a little, or sounded, you know, a little crazy. I had no idea where I was going to go or what I was going to do and no money, but it didn't matter. And I never questioned it. Not once did I ever question, where am I going to go or what I'm going to do? I knew I would end up where I needed to be. So just really, if you get any kind of opportunity to get out into nature and be still and listen to your heart, what is it telling you? It may sound crazy, but if you feel it, do it and trust that you will go where you need to go and that whatever you need will be provided. If you just let go and put yourself into service and you know, for humanity and the earth, what you need will be provided for you. I've experienced that myself. And I don't know, I just felt that when she was talking about that. So if you feel something, go with it. Go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that a lot of people are feeling that at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I know for a fact a lot of people that write the ranch or call the ranch, you know, they're expressing that they're feeling something like that, or you know, also people are feeling really kind of conflicted about how to apply. Looks like Jana's got something to say, kind of regarding this. What's she got?
I feel like I'm on Jeopardy.
You got the Audio Daily double, baby.
I feel that there's the opportunity to create little ranches everywhere, and that there's always been little ranches everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a vortex of energy. It's where any intention is set with a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, with the practices that we've discovered together and the ancient knowledge coming forward within us and from all around us, is that we remember the power of group energy.
Mm.
So if you start a rooftop garden, or you start a backyard bonanza, you can invite at least a dozen people. And that's what the future's going to require.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not just so much about the ranch. It's just, I really feel it's a lot about the activation of people awakening within themselves, seeing themselves and everyone around them, no matter what neighborhood you live. Because when you go internal, you do start to see yourself and everyone. So therefore, you know, everyone becomes your neighbor. But, you know, we're talking about external influences.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about all these other things. But I'll tell you that beyond all this phenomenon, there is there's a lot of very amazing beings that can transcend this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's idealism. I don't think it's utopian. I'm not going to play out a dystopian future. I mean, there's a whole soundtrack to that. Trust me, they've already plugged it into you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying it. We're not buying it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, create your own musical and learn to sing a chorus with your whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just got one little ranchita here, and trust me, there's another one in South India. There's another one in Russia. We're holding down the fort everywhere. So wherever you are, you're gonna be part of the grid. So it's not about having to go far distances or to Nepal. I mean, if you feel that you need to go somewhere, like it's really strong, perhaps there is knowledge there for you to seek and to engage and to absorb and then to give back. That's good. But I mean, probably where you are now, your inner promptings are endless.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, kind of bringing this back to the beginning of the show, we're talking about interesting phenomena that's been being recognized as happening globally this year. So what do you guys foresee on the horizon for 2011? You know, given, you know, this trend of growing global fascism and draconian control measures, you know, do you guys see any potential for those measures of control to become a catalyst? And you know, is there positive ways that you see people can implement empowering solutions into their lives? Looks like Pam wants to say something about that.
Yeah.
But Janet's chewing on it.
Yeah, I've got a really furrowed brow right now.
Well, I embrace all that's happening as an opportunity for people to step back into self-sufficiency. You know, it has been a long time coming that people have been dependent upon the system, and so what I feel is needed for humanity in the immediate future. You know, there are hard times ahead, but there's also this beautiful opportunity to step back into self-sufficiency. See, where does our food come from? Growing your own food, connecting with the land, understanding what it is you need to live and survive, and only that. You know, there's been a lot of excess and a lot of programming around excess and materialism, and I don't know that we as a group, as a collective group, can really transcend without overcoming that piece. So whatever's ahead as far as energetic shifts, I think really involves us stepping into our personal power, which to me translates to self-sufficiency, living on the earth in harmony, understanding where our food comes from, understanding how to interact with one another, and you know, really be part of the community that is Earth, you know. But I do think there's going to be some challenges ahead. But I also think that part of what got us here was a forgetting. And what's going to get us back to center is a knowing. And through heading into it without reservation, we get to that place of knowing, the experience, you know, of reclaiming our divinity in so many ways, you know, and our place here on the planet.
Yeah, I guess I got a little brow for, as soon as the word draconian came in, I just sort of dropped off, you know. It's like, wait a minute, that's not fully part of what I'm understanding, because I think I'm in the process of completely eliminating from my consciousness. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. It blows my mind when I have to try to bring it into the picture of what we're going to create. I think in 2011 we're probably going to see a few more dramas played out, and that you have to keep a watchful eye in your mind, and to carry from your dream state into your waking state the awareness so that you can bust through the illusion of what's going on, so that you can detect when certain signals and symbols are being dropped. And to stay conscious in every breath and every step. And it's a vigilance of some sort, but it's a joyful vigilance because you know what's going on. So, yeah, so, I mean, there are going to be other things that are going to come, and that what I feel is just really important is to feel what the planet is going through, because she is going through a very big process. She is a sentient being, and she is ascending. Our bodies are ascending, and our bodies are a reflection of the planet. So when you're feeling certain sensations, you have to move through them, or you have to detach them from them. And that it can actually, I know a lot of people have been writing to the ranch about physical symptoms, and I've experienced some of them myself. Mm-hmm. Before every earthquake's hitting, I'm getting a major migraine. I've never had migraines in my life. It's like every plate in my skull is a tectonic plate, and for the first time I really wanted to learn cranial sacral therapy. So it's also a great time to learn new things.
That's a good point.
That you don't think that you could do, because
that you haven't done before.
Never done before.
Unlimited.
So I just really encourage that, because you're going to be called to do that, and if you resist it, you might, you know, like I resisted certain things before and I just kept getting sick. And when I kind of release some things and let do, or let happen, let do, it allowed for a great healing. And for planetary healing to happen, we have to start within the planetary body ourselves, because that's the only way that you can contribute to the planet, is if you are a clear channel for the planet. So, yeah, I just really recommend that, Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are some really great points. I mean, you know, personally, I think the storyline that unravels here throughout the rest of the year, who knows what it's going to be. I think it's going to be a hilarious script that would just make any Hollywood movie pale in comparison. But regardless of any challenges that we face, it's a tremendous opportunity for us to, as you're saying, to learn new things, to extract ourselves from the different systems of control in whatever way is applicable to us as individuals. So that leads me to this question. You know, given we know that the control system, has a tendency to use these tactics of the Hegelian dialectic, or problem reaction solution, or playing both sides off of each other, you know, divide and rule. The classic thing, we've been seeing this going on for years. We're seeing it going on right now. I'm sure that we're going to see more of that throughout the rest of the year. Now, given that, what sort of role does discernment play in walking this path of transcendence or of awakening, or however you want to describe that?
Well, we're walking a fine line, but I really feel that just first off is that on a lot of different networks, because we're operating in those realms right now, and they're made of code and symbols and words, is that it's very hard. I really just feel that your truth is your truth. It's your experience. And that it's not something that you necessarily have to inflict on others, but that expression is very important. But it's really good to lay out all the cards on the table and to have an observer stance before you make any big, bold statements.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I mean, it's just good to kind of to look at the big picture, to pan out first before you go into gut reaction, before you attack others. But that there's just a lot of polarity going on, and it's totally not necessary. Mm-hmm. It just kind of scrambles me, because it brings me into the consciousness of these really opposing energies, and it just scrambles me silly.
Yeah. I mean, it is a delicate balance of, you know, walking that line between exercising discernment, but not standing in a place of casting judgment. You know, and exercising compassion and having that observer state, you know, because it's kind of another thing I was thinking about is we realize there's basically an agenda to kind of demonize the truth movement, or the alternative research community, or, you know, how the alternative media, however you want to term it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's one of the tactics, is to get us kind of arguing against each other, like, oh, well, that person's full of crap, or, you know, because they said such and such, or they believe in this.
Well, again, it's the observer state. If you cultivate that, then you're not, you know, you can still engage, but you can detach from it, and that it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to figure it out whether you're late to the party or not, and that's just kind of my opinion. I'm not really into the banter of what is and what is not, because if you tune into the earth and what's actually going on, you will know no less than the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to make the decisions to align with that, you'll know that.
Yeah.
So for me, that's kind of just like a joke.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're running low on time, and there's one other question I kind of wanted to throw out there for everybody. It's like, you know, what would we suggest, or how do we personally deal with friends and family that, in our eyes, you know, maybe they're not awake to certain things that they could or should be, or aren't interested in what's going on the planet. And this is something that, you know, we all talk about and we all kind of struggle with sometimes.
Well, from what I've experienced, and this is just my personal vantage point, is that I do feel that, for me, I chose my parents. I have recollection of that. And that you do need to realize that, and to sort of make it as simple as possible, is that everyone here is on their own journey, and that it's not up to you to wake anyone else up. And to quote one of my favorite speakers, Neil Kramer, man, he did this interview with Mel last night on the Veritas show.
Oh, yeah.
I highly recommend everyone listen. He goes, who are you to go in and wake up a sleeping baby in the middle of the night just because you're awake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to realize that this baby has been born in its own time. And it's not that everyone's your baby, but, I mean, also look at, some sort of philosophy of Buddhism or the Dalai Lama saying, look at everyone as though they are your mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reverence for life will just continue to exude. So who are you to... Because this is... I mean, it's really exciting to feel like you have something to share, but just walk gently.
Yeah, that's a natural inclination that we have. Dan, looks like Dan wants to pipe in on that one.
Just to further on these thoughts... talking about 2011, I personally am getting that it's going to be an extremely accelerated year.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on is a lot of those family and friends that you love that are still more or less embedded in society and going about their business. A lot of them have children and are busy with that, but I believe a lot of them are going to be nudging up against you, and what it is, and a lot of you know this, but it's just reiterate that when you do talk to them, and if they have questions, you simply do the delivery in a very selfless manner, and you do it in an unattached manner. You give them suggestions if you're prompted to, but then you detach yourself. And you give them their empowering motivation, and that's the way we do it. And some of us have to learn that lesson a few times before we get real good at it. But once you do
yeah.
it once or twice or three times, it becomes a rhythm, and it becomes a process that you just start doing naturally. And it's a beautiful thing when you see someone take their steps when you had that detached influence. Okay, I love you all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pass the phone on.
Beautiful, Dan. Yeah, I mean, it's honoring people's free will and honoring people to, you know, walk their own journey and walk their own path at their own pace, exercising that loving non-attachment. Pam, you got something?
Yeah, I really do feel like that is what it's all about, emanation, just through, I know with my family, they may not exactly understand what it is I'm doing up here at Ysetti Ranch, but what they see is happiness in my face,
mm-hmm.
in my eyes, my, you know, really seeing a true peace and happiness, you know, and that makes them open.
Mm-hmm.
To try to figure out what is it that you're doing up there.
Yeah, there's a transmission in just the way you live and just
yeah.
the way you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I share a bit here and there with them, and it's been a really transformational in my sharing with my family, but it all comes down to emanating my own love and joy and acceptance of them and where they're at. So, and Steph, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, I just wanted to say quickly, too, is, and Pam is right, you know, and I've had that experience, too, is, you know, people that might not understand what I'm doing here and why I don't have as much contact with them as I used to or whatever, but the bottom line is, for the first time in my life, I wake up every day happy. Happy. Every day of my life, I am grateful to be here. I am grateful for every experience I have. And that's what they see. And that's what they love to see. And my mom always says, I miss you very much, but I'm happy that you're happy where you are. And that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jana wants to add something.
Follow your bliss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, indeed.
And a shout out to Mr. James.
And shout out to James.
Papa James. He's surfing the cosmos at some point, somewhere around here. Yeah. Well, that's beautiful. You know, is there any other last suggestions that, or recommendations that we might have for other people for just means of self-care or, you know, just anything else that we might say to people that are kind of having a hard time right about now?
Grounding processes have been increasingly important for someone as sensitive as myself, and I know that there are hundreds of thousands of people like me that are from many vast places in many star systems, and that there are some heavy-duty energies coming to the planet right now, so it's really good to learn what grounds you. I will share with you that I was vegetarian for over 10 years before I came to Yosemite Ranch, and I had very strong, I've had a lot of awesome experiences here, but the first experience I had here, other than the massive blue ship that came over the field within the first 5 minutes, was my guide telling me that I had to eat meat, and that was a really, that was a huge shock to me. You know, people have different metabolisms. You might be, it's controversial, and I absolutely understand it, and all I'm doing is sharing my personal journey. I studied in India. I've had different journeys, and I had to start eating meat to be able to stay on this planet and to do my mission. Not to do my mission and to wear my cloak, but to be here, to act out. And that you can, and I do a lot of different grounding practices through Qigong. My metabolism personally is not built to eat the way that I was eating, and that we're all going through vibrational frequency changes. And that actually it seems quite backwards and quite controversial, but for me to be able to harness the full power and the full light, I actually had to totally ground my body and take part of eating some you know, wild game and things like that, and that I'm very conscious about the meat I do eat, and that it was really important for me. And it's something I want to share because it was just, like, so personal, and that it's changed my life, and that you can do different grounding practices. Trust me, I tried everything. And you can email us about this, and that I know that it's very personal, but for me it really helped, and that I recommend it to anyone that might be struggling right now. And you can be conscious, and you can be humane about this.
Well said. Thank you, Jana, and, you know, thanks to everybody else here on the staff for participating in the roundtable tonight. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Nice opportunity for us all.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. So it looks like it's about time for us to wrap it up. You know, if you guys have any questions, certainly call the ranch or catch the ranch on an email, and we'll get back to you. There's a documentary that's going to be coming out here real soon about the ranch, so keep your eyes out for that. Check out the Prophets Conference. James is going to be there. Yeah, the map makers are the ones that are doing the documentary that's going to be coming out very soon, and they're actually doing an interview with James on the World Puja Network that comes out on Tuesday. So, everybody, hope you enjoyed the show tonight, and we'd encourage everybody to use their own discernment, go within, trust your own intuition. Have a great evening, everybody. We'll catch you next time here on As You Wish. Good night.